Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, I had intended to, like, write us a script for a promo, but it totally whiffed my brain. What do you think we should have in a promo? Just...
Do you like scary stuff talked about by a bunch of...
I feel like others might be hesitant to use a promo with the word...
You don't say in mixed company.
Let's just start with, I'm Nick, I'm Katie, we're the host of the Business Theory Podcast. And then...
I think it's better if you just do both the voices. I'm Nick McDonald, I'm Kate McDonald, this is the Spirits Podcast.
Well, I mean, there's 1,000 podcasts of people talking spooky shit.
Exactly.
The only thing that differentiates us is...
We're shit shows.
We're shit shows. And we have the original cocktail angle. That was the main thing.
Do you like gins? And gin? Have you ever had booze and booze?
Do you like spirits and spirits?
I feel like there's something you can make here.
Do you like to mix Everclear with the Ever After?
Somebody watching you while you're drinking White Claw. Have you ever seen an apparition on Long Island while drinking Long Island? My sobriety hurts.
Whether you pee yourself from terror or pee yourself from laughing, you're gonna pee yourself.
Or pee yourself because you drank too much.
There you go. The trifecta of peeing yourself.
The Booze and Spirits Podcast. The trifecta of peeing yourself. Available on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and wherever finer podcasts are sold.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Hello and welcome back to Reverie True Crime. I'm your host, Paige, and today we will be picking up where we left off in part one of Amanda Pierce's tragic story. In the previous episode, I explained what happened to Kimberly and Amanda's sister, Vivian, and their mom, Rebecca, at the hands of Damon Butler in Oklahoma. A few years later, we learned that Amanda would find herself caught in an extremely abusive relationship as well, and she was ready for her escape. The night that she was going to get out of that situation with her boyfriend, Brian Espana, she would never make it out of the apartment alive. I wanted to go through crucial takeaways from witness interviews and statements that many tend to wonder if law enforcement and experts considered throughout the investigation and review of the case. Also, the big question is, why didn't any of these facts give probable cause to formally question or arrest Brian on suspicion? Brian's co-worker, David, who also lived downstairs from the couple, said that Brian made it home from work around the same time that he did, which was no later than 6 p.m. Brian clocked out of work at 5:19 and initially said he got home around 6, which would have meant he spent an hour with Amanda before he called the police. He also told the police that he talked to David for a while before going into the apartment, but David cannot recall talking to him outside that evening. Later, Brian would change his story to say he got home at 7. Brian said that he went downstairs and got David after he says he got Amanda down from where she was hanging in the closet. Brian and David both said that they saw Amanda's bag downstairs by the front door. There are pictures of this bag that show it was an overnight bag with personal items inside. This bag contained her Bible, wallet, family photos, makeup, hair products, jewelry, and other things that someone would pack if they were expecting to leave. That does not seem suggestive of someone wanting to take their life. Quite the opposite. It seems like she was on her way out. David stated that he and Brian went in and performed CPR for maybe 15 minutes before 911 was called. If Brian got home at 7 o'clock, as he claims, how would he have time to talk to the neighbor, go upstairs, change his clothes, look for Amanda, find her, get her down from the clothes rod, go downstairs and get David, turn around, go back upstairs, and then perform CPR for about 15 minutes? These times don't add up at all. So did he get home at 6 or 7? These details are very crucial. In the witness statements, David and their neighbor, Mrs. Thompson, knew that Amanda was being abused by Brian. Amanda never kept that a secret. Brian even told David, quote, "Amanda falls a lot." In the recording, David even sounded distraught and very baffled that Amanda would complete suicide when she was making arrangements to leave that night. He said, quote, "It doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. She was trying to do it the right way. She was calling for help. She wanted to get help, turns around and results to suicide. That's kind of drastic, don't you think?" Let's not forget that Amanda told her friend Amber that Brian threatened to choke and kill her if she was not out of the apartment by 7 p.m. Also keep in mind, the bruise that was on Amanda's chest was seen by the neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Thompson, earlier that day. When asked about the bruise, Amanda told Mrs. Thompson that Brian had hit her in the chest. Ms. Thompson also said that Amanda told her she was used as a punching bag. There were a few things that were puzzling to Mrs. Thompson. Brian told her more than once that Amanda used a belt to hang herself on the closet clothing rack. You could pick up on the perplexity in her voice as she repeated it to the officer many times. My personal question is, how could you mix these two very separate items up? Is it possible, if Brian did this, that he began choking Amanda with a belt and he moved on to the iron cord? Mrs. Thompson said Amanda was a tall girl. Amanda was actually 5'9". She continued saying that Brian told her the same thing that he told David. She falls a lot. Mrs. Thompson even confronted Brian and said, "I know you hit her. I know you do." From not only Amanda telling her that Brian beat on her, Mrs. Thompson also used her own common sense, saying she knew it was not from falling. During Amber's phone call with the police, she said that Amanda told her, quote, "If he touches me one more time, he will kill me. He's put his hands around my neck one too many times." Amanda even told her friend Amber that she would find a way to call her later. Amanda said she was hoping it would be fine if she needed to stay another night at the apartment, and told Amber she got paid the next day. Amanda's friend Miranda said in her phone call with police that Amanda told her she couldn't go to the police and she begged others not to go to the police either, because Brian would end up killing her. He also threatened to kill Amanda's kids. Amanda said that Brian would get his friends to do it, even if he had to hire someone. Just to add to this, Amanda also said to a witness named Penny that Brian said he would chop her up into little pieces like her mother and sister, going on to say that he would get away with it. This is why Amanda's children did not live with her. The detective wrote about the death threats in his report, but he had no suspicions about it, and there seemed to be a major lack of concern and compassion for this whole situation. Miranda continued in her phone call to say that Brian would frequently choke Amanda until she was unconscious, and she would wake up to him kicking her. There was one time when Amanda said she woke up with a needle mark in her arm, and it was not by her own doing. Amanda was very shaken up about it. Amanda almost always had bruises around her neck, saying Brian had even stepped on her throat before. She told Miranda, quote, "If anything ever happens to me, he did it." When Brian spoke to the police, he made sure to harp on the fact that Amanda had attempted suicide back in 2014, but to keep harping on her past struggles with mental health, using that to his advantage, seemed to be a constant with him. He perpetuated that narrative, and unfortunately, it worked in his favor, because this case was never treated as anything more than a suicide. Brian constantly made sure that everyone he spoke to knew about her mental health and her past. Law enforcement would also bring up those issues that Amanda had in her past, and in my opinion, they would continuously gaslight Kimberly during meetings, as if she were crazy to think something else could have happened. Law enforcement essentially used Amanda's mental health issues as justification for exceptionally ruling suicide. Her history and Brian's statement was all they had. She showed no suicidal behaviors. Basically, their narrative had to fit suicide as the cause of death, even if he had to fabricate and withhold facts. Many other witness statements talked about Brian having the capability to kill Amanda, and he even told her as much. Rather than listening to all of those witnesses, they went with Brian's statement. Something else very questionable was that Brian stated that when he discovered Amanda in the closet, she was sitting on her knees, facing the wall, with the cord of an iron around her neck. Initially, he said he did not see her the first time he checked, and he proceeded to change his clothes, throwing them into the hamper that was in the closet. He went on to say the second time he looked in the closet, there were so many clothes in there that she was hidden between them. He claimed he just so happened to spot her feet sticking out. However, in the police report, it plainly says that Amanda was said to be in the middle of the clothing rod where she was sitting visibly between the clothes. What we will also get into more later, but I wanted to touch on quickly here, would be the police demonstration where it was said to Kimberly that the cord was crossed in front and tied in one knot. The crime scene photos tell a different story. There were actually two knots in this cord. Brian also claimed that he broke that cord with his bare hands when he was getting her down from the clothing rod. Well, crime scene photos, which I will post on Instagram, distinctly show the cord was cut, and close to the cord was a box cutter, which we'll also get into that more later. There are numerous variations of Brian's stories that he tells, and they are conflicting with what the police reports say. Law enforcement did not seem to care about those facts. During each of those phone calls, in my humble opinion, they did not seem extremely interested in what any of the witnesses had to say. Brian made an odd comment in his statement, saying when he found Amanda in the closet, he started to push on her neck. He stammered, and then he said, "I mean, on her chest." Freudian slip, perhaps? Brian said that she had attempted suicide about 6 months prior to this by taking pills, and that he took her to the hospital. He never actually took her to the hospital at all, and what occurred was extremely suspicious because he was involved. Amanda had called Kimberly, telling her that she loved her and thanked her for all that she does for her. But Kimberly had a dreadful feeling after hanging up with her sister. Something wasn't right. She called back, and Brian answered. Kimberly heard Amanda crying in the background, and she asked what happened. Brian handed the phone to Amanda, who was distressed. Her voice quivered as she said, "I'm scared. I don't want to die." She claimed that she had taken pills. However, since she never wanted to get Brian in trouble, people tend to wonder if she was coerced or forced into ingesting them. Brian never took her to the hospital. He lied through his teeth to law enforcement and said that he did. It's even on the recording. Kimberly told her sister to go throw up, and then the phone disconnected. She kept calling back until Brian finally answered. Kimberly could hear her sister throwing up in the background. She told Brian to call 911 or that she would. He lied, saying that he would take her to the emergency room. If she had voluntarily taken the pills, why would he not want her to go get help? Was Amanda too scared to tell Kimberly the truth? Why wouldn't Brian just let Kimberly take her to the hospital or tell Kimberly to call 911? Knowing what we know now, it's all so uncertain, and it's impossible to know the truth. After all of these statements, lies, and contradictions, why did law enforcement only treat this incident as a suicide and nothing more? Now that we are caught up with some of the important statements that were made in Part 1, I want to remind you that there is something you can do to help. These are the people that you can contact to ask for Amanda Pierce's case to be reopened and investigated. I also want to say that the Katie Palmer case that I covered about a month ago is from the same county as this case, so you can also ask for that case to be reopened and reinvestigated as well. The first person that I think would be very important to contact is Grayson County District Attorney Brett Smith. 903-813-4361. You can also contact Texas State Attorney General Ken Paxton, 512-463-2100, or 800-983-9933, or 512-936-1200. Texas House Representative Reggie Smith, 512-463-0297. Honorable Pat Fallon, 903-820-5170. And the Grayson County Police Department, 903-813-4200. I'll also have these numbers and emails as well in the show notes so you can help put the pressure on the DA and Grayson County, Texas to get Amanda Pierce's case reopened and reinvestigated. You can also ask them to do the same for Katie Palmer. At the very end of Part 1, we heard Brian's rambling statement to the police. Now we're back at the scene and have so much more to unpack. So let's get into it. The ambulance rushed to the scene and took Amanda off to the hospital. She was in pulseless electrical activity, which means her heart had electricity, but it was not beating. She was revived on the way to the hospital. When she arrived, they immediately drew her blood for blood work. And when the blood work came in, it indicated that her blood alcohol level was 0.384. People do speculate that Amanda may have drank, maybe doing so with Brian, so she could just pass out and snooze until the morning and not have to deal with him. If he perhaps did murder her, she may have been unconscious when he strangled her. If she were unconscious, that would make her powerless, unable to fight for her life. This is just a possible theory by the ones that are closest to Amanda, that know her best, but this is one to take into consideration. Kimberly was made aware of her sister being in the hospital. At first, she thought maybe her sister could attempt suicide, since she did deal with depression, and she also drank a lot. She could wrap her mind around the fact that being in such a dangerous, toxic environment and relationship could cause stress, and maybe there was a chance her mental health may have taken a nosedive. She was entirely accepting of that in the beginning. At this time, there were a slew of things that Kimberly did not know, but she would find out later. Plus, when she got a good look at Amanda's body, she would begin placing all of the pieces of this puzzle together. It appeared that something more sinister transpired. All the conversations she and Amanda had about her leaving, the death threats that Brian made, his violent tendencies, the control that he thrived from, and how Amanda was intending to leave. Plus, the fact that she had a plan that was in motion, an arrangement with her friend so she could get out of the absolute hell that she was enduring. She even had two bags packed, and one was already by the front door. There was no suicide note or message. There were no signs that would make anyone assume she was not in the right state of mind. All the pieces that Kimberly did not have in this moment would come together for her very soon. When Kimberly was notified that Amanda was in the hospital, she met with the detective in a conference room where she explained the domestic violence that was happening to Amanda for 1.5 to 2 years. Amanda was experiencing so much abuse, including physical torture, mental, financial, and emotional. It was a living nightmare, and she wanted out. She wanted to live and be with her two children. Yes, Kimberly had concerns in the past about her sister's mental well-being. Now, all Kimberly could wonder is, why didn't Amanda call me back? When Kimberly got to Amanda's room in the hospital, Brian and three other males were at her sister's bedside. She had no idea who these other three men were. She told them to leave. The intensive care unit staff said Brian claimed the bruise on Amanda's chest, which was seen by the neighbors earlier that day, was from him performing CPR. He even told staff that Amanda did not have any family. Later, his story would change when he talked to Amanda's friend, Amber. To justify the bruise on her chest, Brian said that Amanda had fallen off a ladder trying to change a light bulb. However, we know that Amanda told Mrs. Thompson before she died about the blunt force hits to the chest that she said came from Brian. At the time, Amanda was in ICU on a ventilator, and she was wearing a neck collar, which was hospital protocol for patients who attempted to hang themselves. Kimberly could not see the extent of Amanda's injuries right away, but when she could finally examine her sister a few days later, it would seem there was more to this story and possibly a different story completely.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Could there be a tiny probability that Amanda attempted suicide? Well, as in any other case such as this, yes. But foul play by a violent, obsessive, controlling partner who has nothing to lose seems to everyone in Amanda's life to be even more likely. Over the next few days, Brian would obsessively text Kimberly requesting updates about Amanda. He kept trying to explain what he alleges occurred the evening of the 14th. Brian always made a point to keep talking about how allegedly Amanda tried to complete suicide. The incident 6 months prior made people not confident about what may have truly happened. He kept talking about this as to hopefully divert Kimberly's attention, but if someone voluntarily takes pills with the objective being death, would they scream that they do not want to die? Perhaps she freaked out after she took the pills? But there was something in Amanda's voice that Kimberly could not shake, and she started to see that occurrence differently. It never sat right with her from the beginning, but she didn't know fully why. Now, she thought she might. Other people who love Amanda have the same feelings, especially knowing all about his death threats and how vile he is. When Kimberly talked to the neurologist, she was told that Amanda had anoxic brain injury, and her condition was sadly going downhill. One night, Kimberly was in the hospital chapel, praying, when she had a vision of Brian behind Amanda strangling her. The question that kept nagging at Kimberly was, what really happened to my sister that night? She was coming to the realization that something was off. And when you have a gut instinct, you listen to that. Your intuition will seldom ever steer you wrong. On Saturday, May 16th, Amanda's neck collar was removed, and this is when Kimberly got a really good look at her injuries. Needless to say, waves of shock, anger, and sadness overcame her when she saw how badly her sister was bruised. Kimberly tried to get in touch with the detective to tell him all of their concerns about Brian, but he was off work on the weekends and he would not be back in the office until Monday. Over that weekend, Kimberly received a phone call that gave her more pieces to the puzzle. Information that would make more sense than Amanda trying to hang herself. Kimberly immediately took pictures, which the police failed to do. The Sherman Police Department would not even come to the hospital to talk to the family or look at Amanda. Amanda's family wasn't sure when Amanda may pass away, and they didn't know if the police had taken any pictures prior. What Kimberly saw was so disturbing and raised even more questions. The number of marks on Amanda's neck did not make sense to her because it didn't coincide with what the detective and Brian claimed happened. The extent of the injuries did not add up with someone who was found, quote, sitting on her knees, as Brian had said. As I look at these photos, the ligatures are in multiple places. I'm no expert and I do not claim to be, but in my opinion, it looks like the marks are from being strangled, possibly trying to get away, or being strangled multiple times with the cord moving up and down. You can look at these photos on Instagram and see what you make of them. One mark is partially in a downward direction. Why are there multiple ligature marks if she were to put it around her neck and hang herself? In my opinion, it looks like a possible struggle happened. In my quick search of hanging neck injury marks, there seems to be none that are similar to Amanda's as far as multiple marks. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm stating that I'm seeing hanging neck injuries being one mark in most instances. When I searched domestic violence strangulation, there were multiple pictures that showed people with more than one ligature mark on their necks, similar to Amanda's. Just from comparing these on my own, that is what I see. But you can let me know your opinions on the Instagram post. Amanda's ex-husband and her children's father, Dustin, told Kimberly that Amanda talked to him and said she had every intention to leave the night that she died. Dustin and Amanda were still good friends, and they worked well together co-parenting their children. Amanda told Dustin that she and Brian had gotten into a fight the night before, as he had discovered that she stashed away some money, and he decided to steal $100 of it. This was a portion of the money that she was hiding away for when she would leave him. She told Dustin about Brian telling her that she had to be out by 7 on the 14th. Kimberly had no idea Amanda was going to leave that night, only that she was definitely creating a strategy to leave at some point. The audio I'm going to let you listen to now is the audio of Dustin's statement to police.
Investigation, Detective Jones.
Yes, Detective Jones. This is Dustin.
Hey, Dustin, how are you? I appreciate you calling me back.
I didn't even have a missed call or anything from you. I don't know. Oh,
is that right?
I was just talking to Kim, and she asked me if you'd call.
Unless I dialed the wrong number. I left a message on your voicemail yesterday, but I may have dialed the wrong number or something because I tried to call it before and it wasn't working. But I guess Kim told you why I was calling. I'm following up on this case that I'm working with Amanda, and she said you may have some additional information for me that she may have called you on last Thursday.
Yeah, she called me at 10:30 see, it's 10:39 actually. I was at work and she called me. Basically, what she was doing, she was calling to try to find out what her buddy Amber's phone number was. So anyway, while I was talking to her, I was like, "Yeah, you missed a minute, you know." And I don't know. I talked to her quite often, so I didn't think anything of it, you know. So she's sitting there and she's like, "Hey, you'll never believe this. Brian stole $100 from me." I was like, "What?" She said, "Yeah, I just got paid, just cashed my check, and I called him and was like, what the heck, man? Why are you stealing $100 from me?" And they started bickering back and forth or whatever. Anyway, and I don't know if it was that day or if it was the previous day that they had come to terms that she had to be out of there by 7 o'clock. She's like, "Dustin, I have to be out of here by 7. I guess that's really all I know from that actual phone call.
Okay. Any other issues that she's relayed to you about her and Brian or anything like that?
Wow. The physical abuse is the biggest thing. I mean, I took the boys over there on Mother's Day just to let her spend a little time with them or whatever. And I didn't get out of the car. They just kind of chit-chatted out on that back patio there for about 45 minutes or whatever. She'd come over and say something to me every once in a while. She didn't have to tell me that. I mean, the proof was right there. It's just a huge freaking bruise right there on her chest. I mean, like, massive. And there's been numerous times, back when she still had a car, she'd pull up here in the driveway and just sit out there and just cry, you know. And I'd come out there like, "Hey, what's going on?" She's like, "Man, you beat me up again today, duh, duh, duh." I mean, yeah, there's times she came over and he had choked her out. And I was like, "Man, why don't you just leave?" She was like, "You know, Dustin, he beats me so much that I don't even mind him hitting me anymore. It's just when he freaking chokes me out. That's what freaking bothers me." I'm like, "Amanda, you got to get out of there, you know?" I mean, I used to always try to talk her into it. "Just, man, you just got to go. You got to go, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
And there was one day she came over here and she had called me and told me about it. I was like, "Hey, why don't you come over and see the kids?" She's like, "Dustin, I can't come over and see him right now. My eyes completely swollen shut." I was like, "What? Whatever, you know." But she came over about 3 days later after the boys went to bed. She just came by, I guess. I don't know. She had moved out. She moved in with this other dude that she used to live by over here. It was just right around the corner. She came by, and it was like 3 days later. And you could barely—I mean, she could barely open that eye. The thing was swollen up. I mean, I don't even know how to put it in perspective. It was just freaking huge. I don't know. I mean, she come over and show me bruises. I mean, it was all the time. It was all the time she was showing me stuff that she was telling me about. I mean, he wouldn't even let her have a phone because he would end up calling and telling somebody about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The last time he had a phone, or the last time she had a phone, he took her phone from her, pulled the back off of it, took the SIM card out, cracked it in half, and threw the phone back to her. I mean, was that controlling her, would not let her do anything. Wouldn't let her come see the kids. She got mad if she talked to me, even though it was about the kids. It was, I don't know. Never seen anything like it.
Right. Yeah, I remember one of my partners had talked to you back in 2013 when I had him call you because I found her walking down 1417.
Yeah.
Were y'all still together then, or had y'all already separated by then?
We were separated. We may have been going through our divorce at the time. In 2013. Yeah. We were still in the middle of our divorce.
Okay. Yeah, I took her to the hospital that day and tried to get her some help. But I didn't know how long after that did she start hooking up with Brian? Or you know how long she's been with Brian?
I would say it's been about 2 years. I don't really know. It's been off and on. I mean, okay. She'd get fed up with it and she'd leave with her buddy Amber came and picked her up numerous times. I know other people swung by and picked her up. I mean, she just always went back.
Yeah, I talked to Amber and I talked to Miranda. and several other people, but those are the two I talked to recently, and they would tell me all about it too. So.
I don't know. I wish I would have, look at it now, I wish I would have taken pictures of it or something so I could have had some kind of proof of it. I mean, it's just, it's just my word, you know?
Well, I think, you know, just from talking to everybody, we have established a pattern of abuse there. We just, you know, and sometimes it's hard to figure why people won't make the police reports. But, you know.
And there was that, I mean, he's got a warrant out for whenever he did it.
Yeah, we found that warrant and everything, so we're going to take care of that here in a little bit, too. But I was trying to get, before I get, you know, too far into it, I want to get everything established from everybody else so we'd know what to talk to him about and stuff like that. So, but, yeah, we're working on it, still doing the investigation stuff, so I wanted to call you and see if there was anything recent. And when I talked to Kim, she said you'd talk to her Thursday, and I wanted to see what she told you.
That's the most recent thing that I've got to talk to. Like I say, he wouldn't even let her talk. He wouldn't let her call Kendall. That's our little one. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't let her call, talk to him. Nothing. So I mean, I don't know. Over the last 6 months or so, it hadn't been a whole lot of conversation between us. I mean, when it was, that's all she would talk about. We're going to beat her up again or what?
Do you know what number she called you from on Thursday?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it real quick.
Okay. That's what Kim told me too, that she called her from that number too. So, it being somebody she borrowed it from a number, or borrowed the phone at the gas station or something. So, All right. Well, I appreciate it. If you think of anything else, give me a call. And
okay.
Are you still living at the same address on?
No, I live over here on.
Good deal. I'll change that address in there and we'll get it taken care of from there. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry. We're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No. Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Not long after Kimberly and Dustin had talked, Amber texted her to check on Amanda, which is when she filled Kimberly in about Amanda telling her that she was going to call her back, but she never did. Amber explained about Amanda telling her that she feared Brian, and this is when Kimberly found out about the threats to her sister's life. On top of all of this, the neurologist informed Kimberly of her worst fear, that Amanda's condition was now critical and she would not make it. Kimberly's heart was so heavy, and she had so much coming at her in every direction. There was so much currently going on for her to digest. Since the detective was not being cooperative with Kimberly, not returning any of her calls, she started to do her own research on hanging injuries versus strangulation injuries. She began to get scared of the likelihood that Brian may take off, especially due to his illegal refugee status. Her mind was reeling. An awfully hard decision had to be made. Would they allow Brian to come see Amanda? Collectively, Kimberly and others thought that it might be a good idea to try to keep Brian on their side, see if he would talk more, and so he wouldn't have suspicions about them suspecting him. When Brian came to the hospital, Kimberly made sure to record their conversation. I do have permission to play that conversation, so I will let you guys listen to that now. It is 35 minutes long. I feel like it is essential for this to be included and heard. After you listen to this, we can wrap up this episode and you can join me in a few days for part 3. I won't make you wait until Monday for part 3. I am going to try and release it on Thursday or Friday. So here is the conversation between Kimberly and Brian at the hospital, as well as Brian at Amanda's bedside.
Her.
She's breathing on 14 now.
Yeah, she's breathing on her own at 16.
Her own is 16.
Yeah, it's up here.
Last time I came, when I leave, last time she was 26.
Well, that's if she's not breathing, it will breathe for her at 14. Mm-hmm. But she's breathing on her own at 17.
She not even open the eyes. She opened her eyes a little bit on her arms when I...
Yeah, the, I mean, they've got her medicine to keep her asleep, though, so she doesn't pop the tube.
You really are. Did you do it?
No, I think the nurses bathed her hair. Yeah. Did it?
She likes that.
How long was she there? Huh? How long do you think she was there by herself?
Honestly, I want. You remember the time when she take the pills?
Mm-hmm.
She wait till I come over. Because you know the window you can see when I pull the car.
She take it right there.
And but I never spend time to wind upstairs. I'm just get out the car, it's like whenever you gotta get to the bathroom, like I'm always gonna straight up upstairs. And she knows that. So she took the pills. And she put the pills between her legs, the bottle. And I saw her on the couch. She was sitting on the floor. But I saw her on the couch. And I saw her asleep. And I saw a bunch of cans of beers. And I'm like, hey, Amanda. And she didn't say anything to me. So I pick her up. And then I found a bottle of pills. And I'm like, I know that pills wasn't there for a while.
Yeah.
So now the bottle of pills is empty. So what I do, you remember I call you, and then I took her to the sink, and I her toothbrush, I put her in her throat, and I turn it around a little bit. And
so you think that she was there Thursday a long time? Or?
I don't think so. What happens on Thursday when I get home, my neighbor, the ones, the guy lives downstairs, he trying to sell some furniture, mm-hmm. which I told her, and he told me at work, he works with me, and he told me he wants to sell some furniture. And I told her, you know what, we can spend some money in my next check buying some furniture, mm-hmm. make it up this room. And she say, we're doing good with this furniture here. I want a tattoo. She said she wants a tattoo. She said she want a cross on her arm.
Oh, a tattoo?
Yeah.
Oh.
She said she wants a tattoo.
That's the last thing she needed.
But that's what she told me. That basically, that's our last conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It was like she wants a tattoo on here. Not cross, mm-hmm. kind of like this one,
yeah.
because I got another t-shirt kind of like that. But mm-hmm. she said, kind of like that one, she said, I want my sister Vivian and my mom initials on top.
Mm-hmm.
And on the bottom, I want Brian and my dad initials. That's what she tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, the wings she got,
mm-hmm.
and then it's right. She said, she want to put on the bottom the day of birth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, just, it was about almost 11. And I told her, you know what? Just wait till my next check.
Oh, on Wednesday night? That was Wednesday, though.
Wednesday night. Absolutely, yeah. And then she said she wants that. And I say, well, just let's wait till my next check. I get paid every 2 weeks, you know? And I say, and I pay for your tattoo. And then we went to bed. After 20 minutes, probably 25, probably hour, I don't know, I was sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think about 20 minutes. She woke up, but she sleep. I'm the bed is on here, but the walls in there, the bed is on here. I'm asleep on this side. And I put my cell phone on this plastic tape so I can release my alarm. And she sleep on the, by the wall. And I feel when she get up, and she went to the bathroom. But on the way to the bathroom, I hear when she...
Hi.
I'm Dr. Myers. I'm a kidney specialist. They asked me to come by and just make sure we're doing everything we can to keep organs and all that.
Yeah.
Well, so sorry to meet you all this way.
That's
okay. It's all good. I'm sorry, I'm
here. Well, no, that's all right.
Here. You want us to step out?
No, that's fine. I want you to take a quick look at your heart and lungs and just make sure we got all the right fluids.
So the one in the butt and the top is how hard?
Uh-huh, top's her heart.
109, 108 is good?
Yeah. She's got a little fever. So did she fall or something Wednesday or
someone
went to the bathroom?
Well, she took a beer. She took a beer to go to the bathroom. She drank the beer in there because I found the can in the paper basket.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know because I was asleep, you know. I just hear when she like, you know, when you open
yeah.
the door. And so I wake up about 2 o'clock. And I saw her in the couch.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So I found her on the couch. Last thing I know, she was to the bathroom, drinking a beer in the bathroom. And she's been drinking a lot lately. Since Mother's Day. You know how she drink?
Yeah.
Okay. Double. Double than that. Hello.
Hi, Allison. This is my friend, Allison.
Oh. Nice to meet you, Brian.
I'll come up and meet you in a couple of minutes, okay? Yeah. And you only had 2 at a time, so... Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I understand. Amber called me. She was on the phone, like, blowing on my phone, like... So... And I understand.
Is she done?
I don't know. She said she wanted to meet me at home and I'll go. And I text her before I come over here. I said, you know what? I'm going to Wilson and Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You shall call King and she will let you see her. But, you see,
so did she work on Thursday or not?
She worked Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. No, not Wednesday.
Or Thursday. The day.
No, Wednesday she worked.
Wednesday, okay.
She get off at 4:30. And yeah, that the Wednesday night when we was talking about, she was, I can tell you, Dustin coming over and with the kids, and they went to the backyard. She went to the backyard, and when she come back, she was alright. And when she come back, you can see in people's facial expressions, like she just go like.
On Wednesday?
Or no, on Mother's Day.
Oh, Mother's Day, I know.
Yeah. So. And then my friend Nacho wasn't there, which is her friend too. Mm-hmm. And I'm asked her, hey, what's wrong? And she was, nothing. But she loved this soccer team, I love too. Mm-hmm. And they was playing, and she was like enjoying the game, and we was watching the game, and then she was drinking beer. Everybody was drinking beer, and then she was fine. When once my friend leave, and the soccer game get over, my friend leave, and I saw her. She was watching the floor like this. The TV's on here, and she was like this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, what's wrong? I mean, I know something is wrong with you. You know, I know you. And she was like, Dusty. I'm like, what's wrong with Dusty? He bring the keys to you. You should appreciate that. She's like, man, I've been paying child support. I have to pay child support. And I cannot even take my keys to the store buying an ice cream or whatever for my keys. You don't understand. You got no keys. And I'm like, man, I got no keys. I understand that. But I know. I understand. And she was like, I don't want to talk. I'm like, okay, fine. And then I'm asking her, what you want to eat? Nothing. You need to eat something, babe. You've been drinking the whole day. You need to eat something. No, I don't want to eat nothing. And that's basically
the whole week.
But she's been drinking. Like, I can tell you, we both drink. Yeah. I'm gonna lie.
I know.
We are alcoholics. But we bought a 15 pack of 25 ounces beer. Mm-hmm. And it's enough for 2 days. Mm-hmm. For me and her, I came from work. Where I work, I'm always stuff like 120 pounds every day. And it's a different kind of shit. So I came home now after 11, 10 hours. It's easy to me drinking 2 beers.
Right.
Probably 4.
She's got a high tolerance.
But I don't know how she can drink that much.
Did she call in sick on Thursday?
And the thing is still on there, the mark.
I know. That's why I wonder if she just hung there a long time.
Oh my God, you can only mind, King. I opened the door on my other place, and I saw the room just like exactly where I. When I live, a little bit worse.
I know, I don't want to see it anymore.
And then, now we're like, Amanda.
Oh, it was Thursday night.
Yeah, and I went to the bathroom. I thought she would, most of the time when I came, she's in the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom, and Amanda. And here is the shower curtain. I'm like, hey. But when you went to the bathroom, the closet is straight up on here. So it's not a way, the door is open. It's not a way you don't see the closet if you went to the bathroom. But what happened is the closet had my clothes on this side, her clothes on this side, and the hangers had the clothes on. So she doing it in the closet. So the whole clothes she got, don't let me see it. But we got a basket for dirty clothes. Now, like, I'm open, I go back. When I get out the bathroom, nothing. And I go back, open the door, and I'm like, and she went to the store. So it was kind of warm, and I just walked to the, closet, and I get close to the basket, and I'm trying to take my t-shirt out. When I do this, and I'm like, that's her feet. And I'm like, I move the clothes.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even see the core. I just saw her feet, so my eyes was in the floor. And I'm like, she wasn't, I'm not telling you, she was in this position like this. My knees. And I was on here, so what I do, my left hand, on her left arm, like something. She was on there, and I do this. Hey, baby, what are you doing? And I turn her around, and I saw that she do two eyes on here. Kim, you don't know this. You.
Was she still breathing then, or no?
Her tongue was on like this, in purple. But
she was still pink. I mean, her face was still pink.
It was kind of like the same color.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do, you know the core extension she used?
I didn't know what she used.
She used, you know, the iron when you fix your clothes?
Yeah.
She cut it. And
why would she do this?
I don't know, Kim.
No, I don't understand.
I want to tell you something. She was so depressing after Mother's Day. She was so depressing. I'm the kind of guy, like, I don't know if that's why she likes me. I'm the kind of guy, I'm always coming over and putting a smile on your face, giving you a joke, and doing something funny, you know. But even when I'm doing this, she gives me smiles like this.
Yeah.
And then just come back and so this spot on the floor where she's always sitting on this couch, and then she was like, her eyes on this specific spot. And
I think that she was there very long. I just am sad that she would be by herself.
I don't think so. You know what? I think she do it once I pull my car.
Yeah.
Or the neighbor downstairs, he took me in. He was conversating with me, and I'm trying to get up. But I found her back on the couch in the downstairs. And I'm like, what the heck? You know? But mm-hmm. I cannot imagine this stuff. So I just grabbed the bag, and like she probably forget it on here or whatever.
Yeah.
And this guy was keep talking to me, which he never talked to me.
Oh, she had a suitcase?
Yeah.
Downstairs?
Downstairs on the couch by the door.
Oh.
And this guy never talked to me before. Had never talked to me before. Giving up work. It's just, hey, what's up? And he was making a conversation to me. I tried to make it upstairs, and then when I find it. But I can tell you, I
found her. I said, for very long.
No, not too long. I want to say 8 minutes.
I just imagine her being by herself.
I can tell you this, Kim, and this is hard for you all. It's really hard for me to find out.
No.
I'm asking the cops, do you find any notes? You know, when people do something like that, they write something. The day she took the pills, she wrote me a note.
And she called me.
She called you?
That night that she took the pills.
Oh, yeah, she did? But when she do that, she write down a note for me. She say, I never promised you love forever, but I promised you friendship forever. You are my best friend ever.
And this time she didn't do anything.
And this time she didn't do anything. And I did. We promised friendship forever.
Yeah.
We each other. We're not married.
No.
And we love each other.
In a crazy way.
In a crazy way. But, you know, it's hard to get straight love. I mean, it's still being love. But in the, like you said, crazy way, because she drink a lot. I drink too.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, she drink double that I drink.
You know, when she lost my mom and sister,
she's so talking about that
lately.
She told me on Thursday after Monday, she told me, because last time we went to over there,
cold.
Last time we went to the cemetery,
yeah,
and I cleaned the tombstones, Brian, your mom, and your dad. I cleaned it up, and it was two horses hanging around, and she was like, you know, my brother Brian, he loves horses. I love horses. I had never touched a horse in my life. I'm a silly boy.
Yeah. You had to pet it.
And there was two horses hanging around behind the fence in there, and the horses was so in love with her.
Yeah.
And then I coming over, and we was having fun, and then she told me, can you please, well, it was 7 o'clock, but yeah, she was already drinking. And she was like, can you please take me to the cemetery? I'm like, a month. For real. It's 7 o'clock. If we make it over there, it means we will come back on 10, 9 o'clock.
That was this week or?
Yeah.
Wednesday or?
Thursday. After Monday.
Like the day she did this?
No.
Oh, the day before. Last
Monday.
Week.
Uh-huh. Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
I said Thursday. I'm not
anyway, I was like Thursday.
I said after Monday. All the time, oh, yeah, because I got confused Tuesday and Thursday.
No.
But after morning, she was asking me to take her to the cemetery to see her,
yeah,
family members. No.
Did y'all go? Because it was a mess. It was such a mess up there.
Oh, really?
It means a lot of leaves. And
yeah, that's when the last time we came over, not too long, we take the rain and she was talking with Brian, and then she talked with Vivian. Vivian is really special to her. I can tell.
They were babies together.
And this is hard to me, Kim.
I know.
It really broke my heart when your husband came down and said, this is going to be nasty if you don't get out of here.
I
understand the situation. I completely understand, but that's your family, right?
Yeah.
It's the only one you got. I got nobody. My only family is her.
Did you
want to
talk? I'm going to go get my friend because I've got to come back.
Can I stay?
For a couple of minutes, yeah, because they can close at 1 and she wanted to come back.
Oh.
We had to leave by 1.
Let me stay with her for a
couple minutes. Okay.
You come over because I don't know how fast the time gone.
Okay.
Hey, yeah. This is very special for her. I know you're not Catholic. She's not Catholic. Oh my God, I just break it. Put it on my pocket. This is always hanging on the door, on the closet door where she did that. It's, you know, the doors has two bolts inside, yeah, out. It's always outside. But when she did that, she put him inside.
Oh.
So I will try to fix this.
Okay.
This is very special for her.
Okay.
And when I got my car break, is the only one survived was me and this one. I just break it. I wanna leave it to you. I wanna give it to you.
Okay.
This is very special for her.
Okay.
You're not Catholic, she's not either. But that's the spirit. I'm not either.
I'm going to light over here then.
Okay. Is she been crying like that all the time?
Yeah. I'm kind of, it's just tears.
Last time I saw when I has to go, her feet go all the way down. Oh. Can we pull out the joints? You need to come back to the door. And if you don't want to come back to me, just come back to your mom. She needs you. She got two keys, mom. You got two keys. They need you. They need you. And I need you. Huh? You know how much I want you to open the eyes. And you open the mouth and say, Brian. It's too hard, Mama. Fighting your spirit need to be strong. You need to be strong, Mama. Your own spirit. You know the Holy Spirit is all over you. Everybody, I know I'm praying for you. Every single person that starts a God.
After they do the test today, I'll let you know something. I'm gonna do tests this afternoon.
She's okay, kid.
Yeah. They've just got her asleep right now to keep her from fighting her tube. She's gonna be okay.
I know I'm leaving God. I got 300, 500 people praying for her. Everybody at work is praying for her, even the owner. I supposed to work today. But everybody's praying for her.
Well,
keep you updated. And
I want to be shaved down, Kim. Please don't push me down.
Huh?
Don't take me to the side.
Well, I told you that. I know it hurts. I mean, I will keep you updated, though. Because
she's your family, but it's my only one. How's Jordan?
He saw her yesterday, and he went home with my aunt. But
Sharon?
Delsing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you on Sharon knows?
She's in the hospital right now.
Oh? What happened to her?
She's just having a hard time with some breathing and stuff. But they're going to...
That's not a good idea.
Just going to wait, you know.
She's a strong Kim.
I know.
She's very strong. Her spirit is really strong. And
hopefully, if she wasn't there very long, that there won't be too much.
She believed really hard in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I know how the Spirit is around her. You know that, Mom? You're not alone, don't you? Now he's with you. Look at your heart, baby. I know you will come back. And you will wish your life the way you know that. Try to fix these. It's very special for her.
I will. She had it in the closet with her, so.
Yeah, she all the time, when you close the door, it's hanging outside. But the day she do the pills thing, she put it inside too.
Of the closet?
Yeah, and this one, it wasn't there too. It's always hanging there. And then I found her, the closet was open, so the door was open, so I cannot see where it is. So when I come back home, and then it's hard to me go back home, Kim. It's in a small place, and every corner has remembrance, and there's nobody with me, it's just me. So everything I see reminds me of her. But I find that one hanging inside it. And that was very special for her.
So maybe, you know, you got home about 7:30, then she wasn't there very long then, huh?
If I can tell you, if I spend another minute, she don't give me no signs. Because once I started to the breathing with her mouth and pushing her chest, she was on the floor with her arm like this. And once I put it down, and her arm was like this. And once I started to do that, she was like this. She moved her arm, and she moved her fingers. And I'm still doing the same. And her eyelashes, she blinked a little bit. It's slow, what she did. And I keep doing that till the cops come over.
Thank goodness you got home on time that night, you know, because you might have...
I was a couple minutes late. I was on time, but the guys downstairs, he took me a minute, and I believe she did it right after she found my car. She probably was thinking like, oh, you came and saved me, or something like that.
Right. Because she knows you get home at, 7 o'clock?
6:55.
So she's 7. Always expecting you, so...
So when I believe when she found my car,
yeah,
she did it. Well, I walked back yard and this guy was talking to me and talking 8 minutes. I can tell you 8 minutes. And then I walked upstairs and it took me a minute and a half to find where she was.
Yeah. So, yeah, she knew you'd be there by 7. I mean, she knew. save her.
And that guy downstairs, that does. He come over and, oh, she's cold. And I'm like, dude, what the heck is wrong with you? Call 911. He's like, my cell phone doesn't work. And then I'm like, here is mine. Call 911. And now it's time doing CPA, what, I don't know how you call it. Mm-hmm. And he done did it. I asked to dial the number.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What kind of friend is he?
The morning time visiting period is complete. If you could please make your way back to the waiting room.
It's your hair.
The next visiting period will commence at approximately 3 p.m.
He's not our friend, I can tell you. Yeah. He works with me at the same place. But
thank you.
But he's not a friendly person.
Alrighty. Well, I will call you or text you later and let you know anything.
You know his spirit. You hear some peace in his spirit. All I know is God is taking you. He's taking you. He's doing for you. He's going to give you. Not everything you do.
Okay, everyone, this is going to wrap up part 2, and in a few days we will get into part 3. Please stay tuned for that. We still have so much to unpack and discuss. I urge you all to contact the District Attorney, Brett Smith, in Grayson County. I will have all of the information again in the show notes, and I've been posting it to my Instagram, Twitter, and the Facebook page. So all of that information is there if you can help. We can all put pressure on law enforcement and the district attorney to try to get Amanda Pierce's case reopened and reinvestigated. We can also ask about Katie Palmer's case as well, since they're both in the same county. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, stay safe and take care.